Last week we started a new series having to do with going for the gold, and it has to do with Paul applying a purpose-driven lifestyle to what he did. He was sold out to accomplishing the goal that God had given him to do, which was to reach out and bring people into the gospel. His mindset and attitude is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Give it everything you have. You're not out there to dawdle around, not out there to give a half-hearted approach or attempt. You're to go full on, leaving everything on the track, as they like to say. Now, last week we saw how to apply this teaching with respect to using those kairos moments, as we call them, those special opportunities that God gives to us to share His grace, His love with those around us. Because God is working all around us. God is up to something all the time. And it's our job to have our eyes and ears wide open to see what He's up to and to join Him in His work. Today we want to take this same idea and apply it to a different aspect of our Christian walk, and that is what's called body life. Some of you will understand that term. It resonates with you. For others, it might be new. Body life. Well, let's talk about our physical bodies for a moment. You know, we have these London Olympic Games coming up in just a few weeks now. And it's interesting to reflect on the foundational elements of everybody's body. So I did a little research. We have 206 bones in our body. More than half of them are in our hands and our feet. We have 45 miles of nerves. We have 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That's enough to circle the equator four times in every and each and every person's body here. We have 640 muscles. The hardest working muscle that you have is the heart. That's right. It pumps at least 2,500 gallons daily and will beat over a standard person's lifetime over 3 billion times. It's nice when the whole thing's working right, isn't it? The older you get, the more you begin to appreciate how it used to be. Well, think about an Olympic athlete for a moment. How critical is it for any athlete to have all systems up and running? Everything go, everything strong, everything doing what it's supposed to do. Think about a failure of a body part when you're in the midst of your athletic pursuit if you're an Olympian. I just heard a few days ago one of our American athletes named Bridget Sloan. She was a member of the 2008 silver medal gymnastics team. But she had to pull out of the Olympic trials on Friday because during warm-ups on the unparalleled bars, she fell off and she injured her left elbow. She's out because of a left elbow strain. Think about it. This woman worked 4 years to get to the 2008. She's worked another 4 years to get to the 2012, and because of an elbow strain, she's out. That's pretty sobering. My hat's off to all those people from all around the world who give so much, you know, just to go after a gold medal. But what, you know, an example of focused living. But how dependent they are on a well-functioning body. Well, I want to take that idea of a well-functioning body and I want to apply it in a different way, because the Apostle Paul speaks of the church, each individual church, as a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he states, "The body of Christ has many different parts, just as any other body does." Everybody's body has different parts. Hands and feet and nose and ears, tongue, intestines, muscles in the system, the skeletal system, the lymphatic system, and on it goes. Lots of body parts. And he says, just like the physical body has a lot of parts, so too does the body of Christ. And he was writing to a particular church in Corinth at this time. He's writing to every particular church. He is saying, this church, Santa Clara First Baptist, has many different parts to its body. And if it's true that we need our physical bodies, all the parts, to be working right, we have to say the same thing for the spiritual body of Christ in every local church. What then does it mean to go for the gold with respect to handling our God-given gifts and abilities and talents? What does it mean to live a purpose-driven, focused life in terms of applying what God has given to us in service to the body? Now, I quickly want to run through five aspects of ways of looking at how God has gifted us to serve others. And I want to use the acrostic S-H-A-P-E, shape. We're all shaped for ministry. We all have a shape for a ministry. And so let's look at those five letters. The S stands for spiritual gifts. Every believer has one or more spiritual gifts. Now, what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every disciple at their conversion to be used to minister to others and therefore to build up the body of Christ. These are spiritual empowerments. And the Bible lists a lot of them. You look at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4. You'll see lists of spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul speaks of. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says in verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The Spirit manifests himself. The Spirit reveals himself through the working of each person's spiritual gift or gifts. So you have a spiritual empowerment, something you didn't have before you were a Christian, before you were a disciple of Christ. But if you are a disciple of Christ, you've got one or more spiritual empowerments given to you to be used in service. And these are things like teaching, or exhortation, or helps, or administration. You can look at the lists. We don't have time to go through them all now. But as you read those sections, look at the listing of spiritual gifts and understand that you have one or more of these given to you to be used in service. So you have to ask the question, what am I gifted to do? If you think about you being a piece of the puzzle, if you being a part of the body, to answer the question, what part am I? The first question you ask is, what am I gifted to do? What spiritual empowerments has God given to me? The second, S-H, H stands for heart. The Bible uses the word heart to represent the center of our sense of concern and enthusiasm for a particular area or age group or type of ministry. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul is speaking of one of his co-workers whose name is Titus. And they were involved in putting together a love offering for the church in Jerusalem. And Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, says this about Titus. He says, "I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal," that means Paul's appeal for him to go to Corinth, "but he's coming to you with much enthusiasm on his own initiative." There's someone with a heart or a passion for doing something. Now, where do you have a heart or a passion for ministry? It could be you have a heart or a passion for a particular age group of people. The children, the youth, the elderly, those who have gone through divorce or some other kind of grief experience. And on the list goes. Where's your heart? Each of us has a heart for one or more areas of ministry or types of people. And so you have to ask the question, what am I passionate about? What floats my boat? What turns my crank? Where do I get excited or very concerned about something? Because those are indicators for where our passion lies. S-H-A. A stands for abilities. Abilities. Now, the definition here is those talents, natural and developed, which accomplish all kinds of tasks. This is really straightforward. This is very plain. This might be the easiest one for you to answer of these five. Interesting passage in Exodus chapter 31, where God is speaking to Moses about building the tabernacle, the tent of meeting that they would be worshiping in throughout their 40 years in the wilderness. Somebody had to build a thing. And God says to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." And if you go on in that passage, he lists the kinds of crafts, whether it's woodwork, whether it's metalwork, whether it's work in cloth. You needed some very basic skills to build a tabernacle. And he was going to be the one who was going to oversee the entire project, because he knew about that kind of stuff. He was filled by God with those skills, and I would think he had developed them over his lifespan. So you ask the question, what natural talents and skills do I have? You can all tie your shoelaces. I haven't figured out quite yet how you'd use that in ministry, but that's a talent or a skill you have picked up. It can be as simple as that, and certainly something much more complex. But what talents and skills have you developed over the years that you can employ? The Mexico trip is a great example of that. I went on to Tim McClenigan's website, I think it was, and was looking at some of the electrical work that they were doing. This is on Facebook, you know. And they were talking about, you know, they had all kinds of wiring stuff going on there that was just not good. And our guys went in, and gals, and they did a lot of electrical work. And they made things safe, and they made things better. And you got to know what you're doing with electricity. That's a skill you pick up over time and something you learn. So it could be as simple as something like that, but also profound in its use. Okay, S-H-A-P. P stands for personality. What kind of personality do you have? The definition of personality is how we're all wired to interact with the world. One of the ways to measure your personality or define it is to use something like the Myers-Briggs temperament analysis, where they talk about introverts and extroverts and intuitives and sensates and people who are judgers and people who are perceivers. Those are a lot of different technical terms, but the judging and perceiving, real simple. How many of you like to make lists? Show of hands. Who are the list makers here? You love lists. Lists are what make the world go around for you. You get up in the morning, you have a list. And the thing that gives you the greatest pleasure in the world is checking them off. I used to have an order of worship in this church. It was printed in the bulletin. And then somebody I won't mention, whose name was Steve McClenigan, told me one day, "Well, Pastor, I just go through the order of worship, checking off the various elements." I said, "That's it. No more order of worship." There are people who love lists. And then, how many of you like to fly by the seat of your pants? Plan? What plan? You just kind of take it as it comes. You just move along as it, you know, needs to be moved along. You can turn on a dime if the situation requires. Oh, we had to go this way, not that way anymore. Forget the plan. Those, I think, are more spiritual, actually, those people, because I'm one of them. In fact, our entire staff are people like that, and we're surrounded by people who like to make lists. God's still working on us all, let me tell you. Now, is one right and one wrong? No. They're both right. They're both are needed. Introverts, extroverts. Some people love to be with people. They love to talk to people. They love to socialize. I have one son like that. And I got another son, his twin, who's just the opposite. He's very introverted in the sense of people he puts up with. He signs his emails to the family, TYA, tolerate you all. Extroverts get energy by being with people. Introverts get energy by being with themselves. You put an extrovert in a room by themselves for too long, they will blow up. You put an introvert with people for too long, they will collapse. Who do you want to be your ushers and greeters? Extroverts! There's just one example. I could go on. We don't have time. Okay. Personality. Psalm 139, verse 13, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The Hebrew word for inmost being is an internal organ, and it's where they thought the seat of personality was. I think it's the kidneys. You created my kidneys. You created my personality. You gave me that construction of who I am and how I interact with the world. That's what the psalmist is literally saying there. Where does my personality best suit me to serve is the question you have to ask there. And then E, S-H-A-P-E, experiences. Your experiences in life have molded you to be a particular kind of person with unique skills, understandings, and perspectives. And the best teachers in your experience are the hard times. The times of trial, of hurt and fear and grief, because those are where we really get close to God and where God can do his best work in us. A long time ago, I preached a message series called The Land Between. The Land Between is, well, we were in Egypt for the Jews, and we're going to the Promised Land, but right now we're in the desert. It's the Land Between, and the author of that book says that's where God does his best work in your life, is in the land between. And those experiences you can share with others. For how God ministered to you in those hardest times of life equip you to share that same grace with other people who are going through those times now. Your experiences equip us. Because God is a part of our existence, and for those who claim him as Lord and Savior, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who has been called according to his purpose. In all things God is working for good. Doesn't mean he caused all things, but there's a lot of evil in the world, but God is working in the midst of everything, and he can bring things good out of bad. Our experiences are our great teachers. And how has my past equipped me to serve others? Somebody to run a grief group. Some of the best people are those who've gone through grief. Divorce group. Someone who's gone through a divorce. On and on that list goes. Okay. Well, we're going to drop down to where do I fit in? Paul summarizes the whole thing in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Do you realize in this body, Santa Clara First Baptist, how healthy are we as a church? How healthy is this body? Well, hopefully by now you could answer that by saying, well, we're as healthy as each individual part of the body is healthy. As each one of you is healthy. As each one of you knows your job, your ministry, your appointed ministry that God has given to you. And as each one of you is doing that ministry, then we're going to be healthy. But in so many churches today, particularly in America, people just come and sit and go home, and that's the extent of their involvement. How would you like it if some of your body parts started doing that to you? How would you like it if your right leg decided, you know what, I'm just going to sit and watch the show today. I don't think I'll work. I'm going to take today off. In fact, I'll only function on one day a week. And the rest, I'm just kind of slumming here, just kind of taking it easy, just moving along, you know, well, or not moving, just doing nothing. And so you're dragging this guy all week long, and one day he decides to work. Would you like that if your body part did that? God has designed the church to be strong because each one of you has a part to play in this. Each one of you. If you consider this your church home, if you consider this the place where you have a commitment to God with a local group of believers, you're a part of this body. And again, that's why the church is so weak in America today. We have people going to multiple churches throughout the week. They get a little, you know, it's like smorgasbord. From this church, I'll get this, and from that church, I'll get this, and from this church over here, I'll get this. How would you like if your body decided, body part said, well, I'm not going to belong to you today. I'm going to go off to Joe. That wouldn't be very good either. And so, folks, simple yet profound. God calls each member of his body to serve. You are shaped for service. Uniquely. Every one of you is unique. You have a unique shape. Of this combination of spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experience. You have a unique contribution to make to the health of the body and ultimately to the Lord of all. You know how important you are? Father God, as we just reflect on that question, do we know how important we are? Do we realize that if we're not doing our part, the body suffers, the ministry suffers, the kingdom suffers? Father, I would just pray that if we get nothing out of today's message, that we get that one. We're all important. And to go for the gold, to live a focused life, it means to use our shape in ministry for your glory and the good of those around us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to comprehend, and a heart to say yes. Count me in. I am a part of this body. Amen.